Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
This is the Jim Jeffrey Show podcast. Enjoy yourself. Are you listening? Have some fun. We are in Asia. Is that racist?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're in.
You want to start the podcast over?
No, I like that starting. I think, you know, we're in Asia. We're in Hong Kong right now. We've been doing some shows. We've already been to Taiwan. We've been to, what other cities have we been to? We went to Korea.
Taipei, Seoul. Taiwan, Seoul, South Korea.
Seoul, South Korea.
Tokyo, Japan.
Marilyn Monroe. we've been to a few places. And we've still got a few places left. We've still got to go to Bangkok and other places.
Singapore. Jakarta.
Singapore.
Kuala Lumpur, which I'm saying wrong.
Kuala Lumpur. That sounds exotic.
And Bali.
And Bali. We're going to Bali on Australia Day. And Bali, in case Americans don't realize, is Australia's Cancun. You know what I mean? It's like where everyone goes to get fucked up. It's a very cheap flight. It's very close. You know, it's only a couple of hours from Perth. And Australians in Bali, we don't behave our best. This is not Australia at their best.
Is there anything you want to promote? This is usually when we promote something.
The Ace Theatre is coming up. And this, look, I'm going to tell you something. There is the tickets have sold so fast on the show, we may be adding a second one. But I'm not positive on this, but there may be a second one. But the tickets are selling very fast, and that's not until April.
April, you have shows in somewhere else, in South Africa?
South Africa. I'll be coming to you.
Cape Town
and Johannesburg. I can't wait to see you, South Africa. I am going to do shows for you. That was a New Zealander. That was a New Zealander who had sex with a South African.
Okay.
Spent some time over there. Hello, bro. Ooh, apartheid, bro.
I think there's other shows on your, obviously on your website, everything's on there. So,
so there's all those things there.
Real quick before I go, I want to, because these are coming up. I promoted them for a while, but I'm going to be at the Sydney Comedy Store February 21st to 23rd, the Emore Comedy Club in Sydney.
G'day, mate.
February 19th and February 26th, and I'll be at the Comics Lounge in Melbourne. February 27th through March 2nd. There's links to the tickets on my website at forestshaw.net, and I'll be posting on social media. So if you live there, please come out in Sydney or Melbourne to see me. And I think I'm going to do a show in Newcastle, if we have any listeners there. I'm kind of getting that together.
Newcastle's not a small place, man.
No, I'm into it. I'm just saying it's kind of in the works. And I'll also be coming back to Bangkok February 8th, Singapore February 5th, and Hong Kong the weekend of February 1st and 2nd. I did that backwards.
On the Dancing Bear Tour.
Yeah. So, but the Australian ones are all on my website, so please go there and buy tickets.
All right.
There you go. All right.
We have a guest. Our guest, his name's Scott. I'm sure when he was young, kids called him Snot. Scott Zabinski. Hello, Scott.
Hey, how are you?
Scott Zabinski.
Scott Zabinski is the showrunner of our show and the creator, the co-creator. No, you're not a co. We brought you on. You weren't a creator. I'm the creator of the Jim Jeffrey
show. A lot of people don't know what a showrunner is.
I don't even
know. In the real world, though. That's the thing. So
the way this show was created was like this. Jim will do stuff and talk about shit.
Yeah.
And then travel around and do things. But Scott, if you like the field pieces, Scott's responsible for a lot of that. He's responsible for a lot of the show. How are you today, Scott? Scott is also famously...
I like how he's responsible for a lot of the show.
Scott is also famously...
Pretty much everything on the
Kelly's
show.
Kelly's brother.
That's right. That's actually probably the biggest credit I have on this podcast. People be very excited.
Yeah, Kelly's brother. So what was that like growing up?
She's 7 years younger than me, so we barely knew each other. We kind of joked that we like met each other as adults, basically. Like, we didn't know anything about each other.
Because you had the hots for each other.
Okay.
Wow, long pause.
Didn't know what to do with that.
Awkward pause.
Kelly's listening now, editing this.
have you been enjoying Asia, Scott?
I have been enjoying Asia.
What's been your highlight?
I think finding food, you make fun of me, and rightfully
Scott's
so.
Scott's a fussy eater.
I'm a fussy eater, but I'm trying to get better as an adult. I think I sort of just, I always kind of thought I was a bad eater and was accepted it. In the past few years, I've really tried to get better. And so finding like certain things that I've actually liked on the trip has been really cool.
like what's been something? You tried abalone today.
I tried abalone, which I still don't even know what that is exactly.
It's like a mussel that's in a shell that sticks in the side of rocks and on yeah. things.
It was okay, but everyone around me is like, this is so good. And I'm not saying it's disgusting. I just don't love it.
Yeah, but at least you know you can
but
do
I've
it.
But I've tried it. Yeah, no, I'll try most things once, except for that thing you ate today. What was the meat jelly? Or
no, that was no good.
Yeah, the meat. It was like,
a terrine. Yeah.
It was like a terrine.
It looks like Asian, head cheese.
An Asian terrine. And it was just, it was all the meat off the skull. Of an animal, it was no, that type of thing, and
it's all the pieces of meat on the animal that can't do anything, and then they jam it together with jelly.
Together and cover it with jelly, and then they looked at us like, eh. And then it was one of those weird things where the Asian people who were with us were like, oh no, it's really good, but they weren't fucking eating it either. Yeah. Like there was still,
that's a really good point.
There was still meat jelly. Oh, you've never tried this? Oh yeah, it's like the Cockneys in London. There's a thing called jellied eels, right? Now eels, like literally eels from the fucking Thames, right? What's wrong?
That's better.
Eels from the Thames.
There you go.
Right? And then they cover them in jelly, just like that terrine, and they eat jellied eels. And the Cockneys are always like this. Ooh, I love me a bit of jellied eel. Ooh, jellied eel. Ooh, core blimey, give me some jellied eel. And then whenever you see some in the shop and you're with a Cockney, you go, hey, they've got jellied eels. You should eat that. And they're like, oh, no, I'll just have a burger. You know, they never fucking eat it. Gordon Ramsay, they reckon it's one of his favorite meals is jellied eels. So there you go. Also, Forrest was very excited, but not as excited as me, but I lost my shit today. I saw a McDonald's, which should be Michelin starred. It was the nicest McDonald's.
I was excited about that McDonald's.
It was. It did the burgers the way Chipotle did, where it goes along the line. You pick your bun, you pick your meat, you pick your cheese. The special sauce was in a bowl with a nice silver spoon in it, where they lightly put it over. Fantastic. Massive. Kudos. Kudos, Hong Kong McDonald's.
That's the best thing you've seen in Asia?
That's the name of this episode. I'm telling you, I've seen some weird shit here. I've seen some weird shit.
Like what?
But I've never seen anything weirder than that. Like in Tokyo. We went to Tokyo. We forgot about that.
No, we didn't. We said Tokyo.
In Tokyo, we saw just some NFL players beating some bread as a street performer.
Yeah, we're dressed like NFL players. And we're beating dough.
We went to the robot show in Tokyo, which is very touristy. Missed the robot show. It's fun, but it's...
Well, the second act was better than the first act.
And it's like this, I am going to fight you. Oh, no, I'm on a dragon. Wah! And then a dragon comes out. And then a big lobster picks up someone and it's like clipper.
The thing is you get there too, it's in a real seedy district. Like you get out.
Jack, pour everyone some whiskeys, please.
The first thing a guy said is like, you guys want to see some titties? It was like a movie or something. It was like, no, we're going to the robot show.
In saying that, I would have liked to have seen some titties.
Yeah, I wasn't against it, but we were on a mission.
That's the thing is, whenever you're walking through a red light district, they go, hey, do you want to see nude women? The answer is always yes, but I have other things I have to do right now.
Yeah.
Like yes, but I can't right now. Or I'm in the wrong company. Would you like to see some nude women? I would.
Yeah.
But I'm with my dad.
you wouldn't go with your dad?
I've been to a strip club with my dad.
Yeah.
I once went to a strip club with my father in, I want to say, England. Oh, no, it could have been. It was maybe Germany. We went to the World Cup in 2004. And we were sitting there in a strip club. And I went away and got a lap dance. Right? I thought, all right, fuck. But it was my dad's idea to go to the strip club. And I went away and got a lap dance with one of the girls. And I came back and Dad went, oh, how much did that cost you? And back then, this is like 2006, it was like 20 euros. And I went, oh, 20 euros? And my dad, rather than being disappointed in me for getting a lap dance, went like this, oh, you're fucking throwing your money away. Oh, you buddy, you'll have nothing left at the end. My dad's just so thrifty that he got angry at me spending the money on a lap dance. My dad just sits there and looks at the girls and doesn't tip. Once he's got his entry, I'll tell another strip club story about my dad. We're walking along and there's a very famous strip club in Soho in London called The Windmill. Right, and it's right near the Comedy Store. It's got this big sort of Dutch windmill type of like Moulin Rouge sort of neon sign. And my father, who lived in London in the 1960s, about 1964, 1965, we're walking along. We walk past in the middle of the day. Just put it on the table, Jack. In the middle of the day, and he walks past the security guy at the front of the windmill, and he goes like this. Hey, could I please go inside the strip club? And they go, oh, all right, mate, it's back in $10 charge to get in. Oh, no, I don't want to stay too long. I just want to go in and take some photos. And he's got like, he's got like a disposable like film camera, you know what I mean? That he brought on the trip, right? He's holding his disposable, you know those ones with the cardboard box looking things, right? And they're like, what? He goes, I won't be in trouble. I'll just go in, I'll take a few photos, and I'll be right out. And I'm like, Dad, what the fuck are you doing? You can't go into a strip club and take photos. And they're definitely not going to let you go in there for free and take photos. What are you talking about? And he just wasn't explaining himself very right. It turned out that my father, who's a carpenter, he built all the booths in this windmill club in 1964. And he wanted to see if they were still the same fittings. You know what I mean? And then he went, I just want to see if you've got the same booths. Because I built the booths. And then the guy's like, yeah, all right. All right. Yeah, so we went to the strip club. They moved the girls out of the booths. And then Dad took photos of the booths. He took photos of the booth, and then as we left, he goes like this. Nah, they're different booths now. I'm like, what did you take the photos for? Like, you got to go home, develop that film. Like, this is when you had to develop film.
He's going
to
do the 10-year challenge with the booths and the strip club.
He was going to look at it and go, different booths, different booths, happy memories. He wasn't even in the photos. Anyway, so that's a fun story. I've never told that before.
Here's this. You got whiskey.
We got whiskey. Show the whiskey because when it very fun.
Often when you
travel to the foreign countries, they're very nice to you in the theaters, and they give you little gifts. And sometimes they give something for my son. Like when we were in Holland, we got a Dutch football jersey with his name on the back. That was kind of sweet, you know. Which country was I in when I got this?
This was Taipei, I want to say, right off the bat.
We're in Taipei, and they go, this is World Whiskey Awards. This is the world's best single malt whiskey on earth, right? It won the award, and it comes in a box, and it's called Carvalan Single Malt Whiskey. I don't know how expensive it is, but it comes in a lovely case, and it has a certificate. It has like a graduation certificate with it.
If you throw a certificate on something,
I think a certificate in a bottle of whiskey is the actual degree you get from the School of Hard Knocks. I'll show you the certificate. It was award winner for whiskey. There you go.
That checks out.
Do you want to know how much it cost?
It was the best.
I got it here.
Asian single malt. World's best single malt whiskey.
Let's guess.
I'm going to say it's a $300 bottle of whiskey.
No.
$215.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Why do you keep saying no? You're looking at it and you're wrong, Shandy.
It's $213.
Yeah. That's a real number. That's good. That's for a bottle of liquor. Fantastic. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Is it good you like whiskey, Scott?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know anything about whiskey.
Where is it made? I missed that.
If you're hearing
it's
other
actually
sounds.
Made in Taiwan?
If you're hearing other sounds in the background, there's Julia is here. You can probably hear her. Julia, sound is not me. That is Shandy. That's
Julia does my hair and makeup. Basically, I call her the turd polisher.
And Jack is over in the background getting us drinks.
I do like the consistency that even on the other side of the world, Jim can yell, Jack, get us some drinks. And it just always
works.
The
only reason we brought him here was just to get drinks during the podcast.
Yeah.
Jack, you did some comedy the other night.
Jack, get on the microphone.
Yeah, come on, Jack. We only have three mics.
Now, not many people know this, but Jack is a quarter Asian.
Quarter Japanese.
Quarter Japanese. Just the waist area.
Yeah, exactly. It all went to one area. All of it focused in one spot, unfortunately.
You have a small penis?
No, I wasn't meaning that.
Okay, over-explaining. So how did you feel? So what happened? What city? That was in Tokyo.
That was Tokyo.
I was not allowed to perform because we didn't get the visa in time.
But Jack also spent a couple of years, he's a rich kid. Don't forget that. Jack spent a couple of years here in Hong Kong.
1 year.
1 year here in Hong Kong. His father was working out here, I assume?
Yeah, my dad got transferred to Hong Kong, so we all moved out with him.
Oh, yeah, that's nice to spend time with your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you have happy, what age were you then?
I was 14.
How old were you when you kissed a girl? What age were you?
Excellent question. I think it was...
Excellent question?
16. Yeah.
So in Hong Kong?
No.
Two years after.
Okay.
I would have thought you would have fucking carved it up with the Asian birds, man.
Oh, no. I was a chunky boy.
You were a fat kid, were you?
Oh, yeah. I got pictures. Oh, it's
so good. I'll show you some pictures. Yeah, we got to see those.
Really?
Post those in the podcast group.
We never knew about this. Were you a fat kid?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All that coke.
All the Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I always thought that kept the weight off.
Oh! So we're in Tokyo, and Jim's on stage probably like most of the way done. I'd say like an hour 10.
Hour 20, hour 10 in, yeah.
And then Jack is standing in the wings with me with his camera around his neck. And then I think you said, hey, any questions or something like that? And someone yelled out, Jack Hackett, or can you hack it or something, right?
Yeah, someone yelled out, can you hack it?
And then you're like, Jack's here. Do you want to come out, Jack, and do a thing? So Jack quickly takes off the I'll give you credit, confidence. You went out there right away, walks out on stage. Jim sits in the chair. And then what'd you do, Jack?
I told a story, and Jim was like, oh, how fucking long is this going to take?
What was the story, though? It was a story about Jim. You thought in your head you should do a joke about Jim.
Joke about Jim, because I thought that would play the best.
Yeah, and you said it's only going to take a minute. It's about 3 minutes long. Just so you know. Just so you know, that's long.
No, we're not gonna do the story now.
No, we're not going to do the story.
But halfway through the story.
Not even. Like, I'd say 10 seconds in.
Jack got heckled.
Yeah. Like
by you.
No.
By the audience. The audience started heckling you, and you immediately folded. You're like. And so Jim.
I don't even remember.
Jim had to fight off your hecklers. You.
I had to do the heckle replies, and you had the microphone.
Yeah.
I knocked down the hecklers without a microphone sitting on a chair in the corner.
It's all the opportunity.
And what was it? It was something like the lady said,
How did he blow it for you?
What?
She asked, how did he blow it? Because you were going to help me get a girl. And right. So she said, how did he blow it for you? And then.
And what did I say? Oh, different from you. He only had one cock in his mouth. Or something like that. It was something like
he did it just like you're doing now, but without the dick in your mouth.
Yeah. He did it just how you did it now, without two dicks in your mouth, or something like.
And that was the biggest laugh of your story.
I'm very good.
So that was your biggest crowd ever, right?
Biggest, yeah.
That was, thousand people in Tokyo, Shandy.
Yep. Yeah. And Jack Hackett, you're going to do one of the shows. If we do, we still might just do one, but if you're definitely doing, how many minutes did I say you could do?
You bumped it up to 7.
7 minutes. Oh, God, really? I was drunk. It was 5. It was 5, and then I went like, 7.
At the Ace Theater, yeah.
At the Ace Theater in LA. So if you're a Jack Hackett fan, come to that show. And it's going to be the one that's on sale now because your parents have bought tickets.
I told them I could get them comps. They ignored me and bought 12 tickets because my extended family is going to be flying in.
They're flying in for this?
They're flying in from New Jersey.
To see you do 7 minutes.
Yes.
That's insane.
Well, it was 5 when they bought it.
Oh, they'll probably put themselves up in a real nice hotel. Oh,
probably at the Ace Hotel.
Your 7 minutes is costing your family with plane tickets and hotels and all that type of stuff. This is like a fucking $10,000 to get this up and running for people buying stuff when they're out here. 10 grand to watch you do 7 minutes.
I know.
It's madness.
It's madness.
I've never had love like that in my whole life. Well, I've never had that much love where there's a group of people like, I'm going to fucking support you and come. I live in LA, and I think I've only got about 10 comps for myself. You got 12 people coming.
What about all the people that came to the Vegas show? Like, I flew all the way from Maine.
That's not his family, though.
Here's the thing with going to Vegas. I was getting them all plied up with fucking booze and substances, and we're in great hotel rooms, and we were having a real fucking party, and it was all on my dime. That's the big difference.
Right.
So you spotting these people anything? Are you gonna take them out to dinner or anything? Do you get paid well, Jack? How much do I pay you? Do you do well?
I'm minimum wage.
Oh, you're minimum wage.
Yeah,
but you're in Hong Kong.
I know, it's nice.
You're in Hong Kong.
So you're paying me less because minimum wage is less here.
Yeah. I'm only paying you major bit. In his time off, Jack's making me sneakers. That was a good joke.
I will. They all laughed. What else do you want?
Oh, there was a lull there, and I thought, I better fill that space. Compliment myself. Everything kept striking up. That's the joke that keeps giving. We've been doing it for about 2 minutes now.
This is what else you mentioned something like early on in the trip, and it's held true the whole time. Is like you said, Asia does not disappoint on the stereotypes. Like when you come here, it's. it's exactly what you think it's going to be like. And in a good way. I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's just like Tokyo was like peak Tokyo. Like everything we saw was like, yeah, this is what I expected. Like,
well, today Jim introduced me to something new, which if he had told me ahead of time, you know, the scaffolding when they're building a building is made of bamboo, I'd be like, ah, all right, that's a bit racist.
Yeah.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, it's a derogatory term is, fucking bamboo scaffolds.
And yep. Then sure enough, we're going around town and
on skyscrapers.
On skyscrapers.
Yeah.
50 stories tall, 70 stories tall, bamboo all the way up.
Yeah, bamboo scaffolding. Have you seen that, Chandy? Yeah, it's crazy. But when you get up close to it, you're like, yeah, I guess this is just... I mean, it's obviously strong, we know that. But they tie it together with like this really strong...
I've had it explained to me a lot better. There's something to do with earthquakes, something to do with the...
It's flexible.
The flexible building on a hill, something to do with... The architecture is very unique in Hong Kong. There's a lot of curved buildings and stuff like that, so they can get right up against the wall if they want to do something a bit fancy with the architecture. I just think it's a nice thing.
Yeah, that's cool. But even like... just karaoke and and like the Tokyo girls that dress like little schoolgirls, and we were also there on a public holiday, so it was like a coming of age day where all the women
everyone who's 20 dresses up in a kimono for the day
and wears little slippers and you're like, well, that looks just like I thought I was gonna look like but it's like you said, it doesn't disappoint on the stereotype, but I feel like people are good drivers here. That stereotype is good.
Well, that's because they're all driving with each other and it all fits together then.
Yeah, who's the bad drivers here?
I don't think so. I've been following, I think they're, I don't know where that stereotype's coming from.
They have the stereotype of white people being bad drivers here.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I buy it. Yeah. I mean, we probably would.
No,
I would
in between the lines.
They call us indicator users. That was a good joke too.
Well, write that
yeah,
down.
You should beep, beep.
fucking indicator users.
I think the cool thing about the shows too is I think that we thought originally coming in is it's going to be all expats. Like,
yeah, I thought it'd be just white people in the audience, but a lot of about 50% has been Asian people coming to see.
Now, can you tell?
And our TV shows here in Hong Kong and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
People have shown up because of the show, and I guess Netflix is everywhere, so you know they see my specials and they've been really cool. They've been really cool. They've come out and
in South Korea, there was in the front row, there was a group of women that were in their like 50s.
Yeah,
that were from South Korea, and they seemed to be understanding and enjoying the show.
Well, also there was things that were said that like I would never say on stage that was being yelled from the crowd in Korea, because I do a routine at the moment about how they make foie gras, right, and how cruel it is to make foie gras, and it's a little routine. I won't do the routine right now, but I do a routine about foie gras, right, and then someone just yells out, we eat live squid. And I went, really? You eat fucking live? They go, yeah, well, it's live and it's flapping around. We put it in our mouth. They go, hands up here. Who eats live squid? And they all fucking put their hands up. And I went, all right, well, my foie gras story doesn't sound as interesting now, right? And so I sort of cut the routine off at that point. And then another bloke yells out, we eat dogs and cats as well. Lord. And I'm like, if I sit on stage in Korea, don't you eat dogs and cats? Like, that would, to me, be, that's a pretty harsh thing to fucking say. But no, they were like, yeah, we love eating dogs. They were pretty proud about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's certain things other people can say that you can't say. It's like the N-word. You can say it. I can't say it. Not you personally, but black people.
I thought you were giving me permission.
No.
Yeah, I can say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, geez, that's just a weight off your shoulders.
Go ahead and say it. Tell him Scott sent you.
Tell him Scott sent you?
Sent you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, the blackest name of them all.
Scott Z.
Yeah. Here comes Scotty Z.
Scotty Z said it's okay.
Yeah, pimping. Scotty Z.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think I also think this too. We're eating all Asian food, which I love. I love Asian food.
They just call it food here.
Yeah. Not Chinese food.
I did. I said, do you call this Chinese food or you just call this food? She goes, no, we call it Chinese food.
Yeah, she did. Not the answer you wanted.
Yeah, but this is Hong Kong.
And then we went to a bar last night. I had a load of fun. It was a bar that had ping pong tables in it, which is fun when you're drunk. No one keeps score. You just keep trying to rally.
Ping pong's racist. You can't say that.
And there's like, yeah, but this is the thing. We have like a security guy here is a guy from Hong Kong, and Forrest just looked him in the eye and went, Do you play ping pong? What did you say?
That's not how the story
works. Surely you must play ping pong. Surely you're a ping pong player.
I don't feel like that's how the story went.
Okay, I'll tell you.
I did point at him.
You said you people.
Yeah. Forrest said, oi, ping pong. Do you play ping pong?
I said, hey, pingy pongy. I did not say that.
Kelly, edit this out when it gets back.
I did not say that at all. He was a young guy, and there was another person. It was at lunch. It was another person at our table that said, in the Olympics, they cheated at ping pong or something like that. And then I could see him looking at him. So I was trying to defuse the situation. I go, hey, do you play ping pong? And of course, Jim goes, that was racist. He just pointed out. I go, that's not how it went down. But anyway, so.
Originally, you said
it used to be called Whiff Waff.
It used to be called Whiff Waff. Yeah, the British invented it. It was called Whiff Waff. And then it was culturally appropriated by the Chinese.
And that might be true. We haven't researched that.
Are you looking it up
for us? Very possible.
I'm looking it up.
Google. Was ping pong called whiff whiff?
That's not how you do it.
And if it's not true, please email Jim Jeffries at.
You don't Google the question that you want the answer to, then, because then someone will never be like, it used to be called whiff whiff. That's where I got it. So,
all right, we're going to make an edit point here why Forrest is getting the information.
You can keep talking. Tell the story.
No, I got nothing to say.
I thought you had the story. It was originated in Victorian England, where it was played among the upper class as an afternoon parlor game.
He's always right.
And it was called.
I'm still looking.
Just Google whiff whaff. Find this article.
It says the name ping pong was in wide use before British manufacturer Jay Jocks and Sun Limited trademarked it in 1901. The name ping pong then became described the game played. Yeah, I don't see whiff whaff in here.
All right, well, we can change Wikipedia. That's the great thing about Wikipedia. You can change the story, so go ahead and put it in there. By the time this podcast
airs. I'm telling you, it was called fucking whiff whaff. I was unsure whether it was invented in England, but I was...
Your old name for ping pong.
We'll get the microphone up, Scott. Microphone.
Well, granted, this is from Urban Dictionary. Whiff Waff is about a 300-year-old name for ping pong. They used a wine bottle cork and called it Whiff Waff because of the sound it made. They also used cigar box lids for paddles.
Whiff and motherfucking Waff.
You know how in Urban Dictionary they always have a sentence? Man, that game of Whiff Waff was sweet.
I don't feel like that sentence adds any context.
But that's what
ours is also Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, like you're fucking doing a spelling bee. Can you use it in a whiff whaff? Use it in a sentence. Yeah. I'm saying the word whiff whaff.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Look at the next description of it.
Yeah, what? I don't think so. Table tennis, I thought was the first name would be before whiff whaff. Because I've heard table tennis.
Whiff whaff, table tennis.
Also, a wine cork? What does that look like? That's not a good game.
That's not even the sport.
Using, like, cigar boxes to do it. So
cigar.
They were hitting it with cigar boxes?
Yeah, with a stick.
It sounds like a bunch of drunks.
And the ball was made from children's teeth.
Sounds like a story your mom would tell about it. When I played ping pong when I was a child.
When I was a young person.
I
played whiff whaff.
But I think the point is that ping pong, the term, was coined in England. Therefore, I was not being racist.
Right, but I did say it was invented in England. And I was proven correct.
But you were doing the eyes when you said it.
I was just winking. Nope. That was funny.
Whiff whaff's a good nickname for somebody.
All right, I don't want to switch completely gears. Do you want to tell the thing that we were talking about the other day, Jim? You said it was long. I think it's not that long. It's funny.
What are we talking about?
You guys baseball really player. Have a...
Right?
With a baseball player?
Ah, oh, yes. Okay. So that's what fine. Happened was, I like the Dodgers. So sue me. I like the Dodgers. I have season tickets to the Dodgers. It's my sport now. I love the baseball. I follow the baseball. And my favorite new player for the Dodgers, he should have been Rookie of the Year, but he didn't win it. But he's going to be a stud. And his name
he didn't get Rookie of the Year?
No, he came runner-up.
Huh.
Walker Buehler.
I love that name.
Pitcher.
Walker Buehler, he's a pitcher. He lights out, right?
He's great. Basically the ace now, but Kershaw, they'll still say, is the ace because he's Kershaw, but he's going down.
Yeah, he's the ace.
He's still solid.
So when you're on the Twitter, you can see which verified people follow you, right? And I had a new follower, and it was Walker Buehler. Stop. Now, what you do is you check that person's page because sometimes they follow 20,000 people, and you're like Justin Bieber follows me, but he follows like 100,000 people, right? But then it's like Walker only follows a couple hundred people. So it's like, all right. So I'm like, What I'll do is, and I haven't got my phone here, and I could read.
Where's your phone?
It's over there. I could read you the conversation.
You had a conversation with
I decided to. I got excited by Walker Buehler following me, so I messaged him.
He's got 643 followers, so that's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. It's a reasonable amount, right? So I direct messaged Walker Buehler, and I will read the conversation.
I have it here. Do you have it?
Because I'm a complete loser. I may have deleted it.
I have it here.
Shame.
I have it here.
I've got it here.
Okay.
I got it here.
You sent it to me.
I went, okay. Now remember, this is like a 23-year-old, and I'm a 41-year-old man. I'm a 41-year-old man who got overexcited by a 23-year-old. And you always look at athletes like they're better than you, but you forget they're fucking kids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I went, mate, I'm your biggest fan.
So you started this conversation.
I started it.
Okay.
If you ever want to come to a gig, hit me up.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, no.
And then Walker wrote back, I'm a huge fan of yours as well. Ha ha. I was all in on your Netflix show. I loved it. Right? And so I did that thing where, like, that should have ended there. Like, that was nice of it. And I already offered him fucking tickets, and he hasn't gone, I'll do that. He just went, like your Netflix show.
Right.
Right? I don't know which one. Right? And then I go, and then I wrote back, this is where
this is where, you dove in. You dove in for it now. You're like, we're friends.
I went, all right, I'll solidify this relationship. That's awesome. Next time I'm doing a show in LA, I'll give you a heads up. Which you didn't ask for that. You didn't ask for it.
Did you give him your number?
No, I went, otherwise, I have season tickets at the Dodgers, and I look forward to seeing you play with, I assume, Bryce Harper.
You totally fanboyed out.
Like, I fanboyed out. I just lost me shit. It was late at night.
Also, the best part about that is you're like, you were...
It wasn't late at night. It was 2 p.m.
The best part about this is you were offering him tickets to your show and then saying, by the way, I have season tickets to come watch you already.
But I was like, don't worry about offering me tickets, which he didn't do. I'll be there anyway.
I love that every week on this podcast you give Jack advice on how to talk to women, and you're so good with women, and then it just comes to this.
Anyway, here's the worst thing back. His response is an okay emoji.
About an hour and a half later. Oh, about an hour and a half later. Not a thumbs up, not a thing, just the okay with the finger.
The okay emoji.
And what is he, 22, 23?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, okay.
The question is he still following you?
He still is, but out of pity, I think.
Well, you can always mute somebody.
And I got this text from Jimmy. He goes, oh no. He was like,
I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, what happened? That's
what happened. What happened was I contacted Forrest an hour before this all started and went, Walker Buehler's following me. And I go, what should I do? And then Forrest was excited too. We should try to be his friend.
I did say that. But I thought you would ease into it. I didn't think you'd be like, I'll be at every game. Every game I'll be there. I'll see you every game, and hopefully Bryce Harper's there.
Look, I took a big swing. I took it, to use a baseball metaphor. I took a big swing hoping that I'd get a home run, and I just
struck
a pop fly.
Well, the only way you can fix this, obviously, is to go down to spring training on day one.
Oh, yeah, with the jersey.
Yeah.
The Walker Buehler jersey.
That's the only way to fix this person.
I can't get a Walker Buehler jersey.
Yes, I think you can.
That would be too much.
Ask the podcast fans that make one and send it.
Yeah. Get a Walker Buehler jersey, but it says... And
hey, Walker, if you're listening, assume you're not anymore. But if you are, just reach out and say everything's all right. Just in more than an emoji, use your words.
Emojis,
so. Oh, man.
This is it right here. You can see the okay.
Oh, yeah. Jim just showed it.
Blue and there's not enough white.
I sent a fucking... don't print the screenshot, though, because it's private.
No. I'm not going to put that on there, but I just was showing it to them.
But I did screenshot it and send it to Forrest. The shame. Oh, but then what was funny was within 20 minutes, I rang up and I was pissing myself laughing at how pathetic I was. I was like, and then I said, Bryce Harper.
We got him.
And it looks like the Dodgers aren't even going to sign Bryce Harper anymore.
Yeah, what is happening with that?
This was a few weeks ago when it looked like we had him. And I was like, and I was hoping him, I was, my response that I wanted was him to go, I don't know if Bryce Harper will be with the Dodgers, and then maybe a wink emoji. That's what I wanted.
Oh my God.
It was an hour and a half that he took to put the okay up there.
And I was, I kept on checking Twitter all the time. Maybe he'll write back.
Well, maybe he was watching one of Jim's specials. That's a, just over an hour.
His handle is at Bueller's Day Off, so he's into comedy.
Oh, that's funny.
There you go.
All of a sudden, maybe you learned what it's like to be a girl. Just waiting to...
Yeah, boy.
What do you mean? He learned what it's like to be a girl, to have all the fucking power and to crush a man's spirits.
Yeah, he's...
You felt like what it's like to be Jack.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Jack.
I went in too hard, Jack.
Teacup of whiskey.
Let this be a lesson, Jack.
Jack,
let
what's your advice to Jim in this situation? How should he have handled it?
What would have you written, Jack? So Walker Buehler follows you. You're a big fan. And then what do you write?
You gotta ease in.
I think you unfollow him. You power move.
No, I've
what?
No.
I don't unfollow him.
No.
Do you think he notices
Jesus
that?
Jesus Christ, Jack. You don't unfollow the guy. You're trying to stay friends with him. Wow, Jack.
This is why Jack doesn't get laid.
Jack, you should have an advice show that's just you giving the worst advice possible.
What I should have done is if he didn't respond back after about 4 hours, I should have just written Bueller.
Yeah, you blew it now.
I think you do a casual retweet of a couple things that he does. Not every day. Maybe once a week or something to slowly get back in there. Maybe you do reply.
It's like how me and Brad Pitt are friends, because Brad was the thing. Brad texts me a couple of times. I've gotten over eager with Brad a couple of times. Text him a happy Thanksgiving once.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, that was a stressful few hours waiting for that response. And he's like, happy Thanksgiving, Jim. I'm like, all right, Brad Pitt, we're back in.
Oh, here we, from our research, Andrew Wontuck, Boris Johnson was right to claim in a typically eccentric speech in Beijing that the Olympics was bringing ping pong home to London. The game did start on the dining tables of Victorian England, but he was wrong to suggest it was called Whiff Waff in the early days. The very first name was Gossamer, used by the Jocks Games Company, which brought it the first set in the 1880s. Gossamer. Oh, wait. Jocks trademarked ping pong in 1901, forcing rivals to adopt alternative names. Slazenger went with Whiff Waff. Okay.
All right.
So then it did come back to Whiff Waff.
I get a partial credit. I get an 80%
yeah,
on that story.
You
knew more than the rest of us.
I did. You were right still, but it was invented in England. So
I think the important thing is you guys were playing ping pong, not keeping score, and Forrest was still doing top spin.
I think I was drunk telling people, it's called Whiff Waff.
Forrest, explain yourself, though.
Forrest is very competitive when it comes to sport. Yeah. Anyone who's seen the game of horse that we played that was videotaped.
I beat you after it was with
underarm.
The video, not videotaped. I beat you underarm with
underarm.
Your shot. Not videotaped.
You haven't beat me every time. You beat me about 80%.
I got to unpin that video from the podcast group. Why is that pinned to the top?
It's my favorite video.
Okay.
I think it's the funniest thing I've ever done. I've got 8 specials.
Yeah, so we're in the bar, and then, okay, here's the thing.
So what happened was we were playing against the bloke, the guy who was giving us all free drink and everything. This guy was like buying all the fucking booze, right?
He was?
And yeah, he's buying all the booze. He's buying all the booze, and I was playing a bit of ping pong with him. And then Forrest said, come on, doubles, and I bring Forrest up.
No, you said doubles. Let's not paint the whole. So I'm going to play doubles.
No, I said, come on, Forrest, okay, doubles. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I dragged Forrest over, and then you forget that Forrest, it's a fun game.
I'm good at ping pong.
But no one's keeping score. We're just trying to keep the rally going. And so there was a girl on the other side, this petite girl, right? And then she would tap it over the fence, and then Forrest would go, smash!
No. There was a guy on the other side named Philip, and he did the backwards holding of the paddle. He would serve with the one hand and the ball, and he would start putting spin on it. And I go, you want to play spins?
He's Asian. He's so good at it.
I said, you want to play spins? And he came in, and so I started giving him a little bit of some mustard back.
Yeah, but it wasn't a competitive game. We were trying to make friends.
Well, you shouldn't spin the ball.
I thought the most interesting part of the story was the girl that you said came around and was like
scooping it up.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
The whole place.
There's balls everywhere.
Yeah, and I was like, and they kept getting filled. I'm like, how do we keep getting ping pong balls? You're drinking, you're not paying attention. There's just the one with a net going around, picking up around the whole bar.
They give you like a little golf bucket full of ping pong balls.
Great.
And you run out of them. And then the lady just fills them up again. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, it's called the Tasmanian Clubhouse, if you're ever in Hong Kong.
So ping pong and McDonald's are at least two things.
That's the most cultural different things I've seen since I've been here.
The most?
The McDonald's and the ping pong.
Oh.
I'm being humorous.
And Forrest was excited to see the screensaver today.
Oh, Forrest and his fucking screensaver.
We're in Hong Kong. If you have an Apple TV.
He's having a conversation with himself. No one else has interacted in this conversation. Forrest all by himself having this conversation. And he's there going, oh, there's a screensaver on Apple where the city is in the mountain.
Apple TV.
I look at it every day on Apple TV. And I look at it every day and I think, where's that? And then it's here. And then he goes, and then we're like, no one responds. Then we drive a little bit further and Forrest goes like this. Oh, it's a bit foggy from the pollution today. You can't see the screensaver that's in the mountain. Like this, right? Well, and then the next day, he's like, there it is. It's clear today, everyone. You can see the screensaver, and no one gives a shit.
It's not
no
true.
One gives a fucking... No one... No, I know you give a shit, but no one else has No one else has interacted with you.
If you have an Apple TV, and you're wondering, like, and you see when it comes on, you're like, where are those? There's one city that's, like, tucked in the mountains that looks like New York skyline. And you're like, it's tucked in the mountain with a harbor. And you're like, cool, that's Hong Kong. And we got to see... that shot.
Yeah. No. You got to see that shot. Every time you point it out, I purposely don't turn my head.
Okay, how about this? Can everyone agree this is the most, a very unique city? Like, they're just for the buildings and the population and the mountains and the harbor. It's one of the most unique, if not the most unique, big cities I've ever seen. There's like 8 million people here. And it's just a really cool city. That's all I'm saying.
I know you're saying it, but you have labored on this.
The screensaver.
Like you're not reading the room at all.
Yeah, well, I'm tripling down.
Yeah. I know. We're going out to dinner after this podcast and we'll drive by and you'll do it again. And you'll say you're doing it ironically, but you want the rest of us to acknowledge the fucking city in the hill. There's the bit that's in the hill.
It's cool.
And the hill looks backwards onto shipping containers. Its view is fucking horrible.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to see that view.
You're better off living in the shipping containers and staring the other way.
Live in a shipping container and stare across the harbor. Beautiful. You're up on the hill. It's just, ugh. Yeah. Just where all the shit's coming in. I ain't going out.
We were shooting a thing today on facial recognition, and we had a bit of a situation.
We had an issue because the facial recognition machine says whether you're wearing glasses, whether you're male, whether you're female, and what age bracket you're in. You can be a child, youth, middle-aged, or old. And I came in middle-aged, and everyone else came in youth. And how on earth Scott Zabinski, he fucking looks younger than me, is fucking beyond me.
I moisturize.
I think it's that I had facial hair. No, as I said,
today, I came in younger too.
Scott looks like a dropped pie. Did you come in youth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. I love it.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Look at every single person to me was youth.
Look at this.
And then I did it like 7 times, and every time, middle age.
Different poses, lift your chin up.
I lifted my chin up. I tried to like pout my lips. I tried to suck in. I tried to like put my eyebrows down so my forehead was smooth.
I have a little video of that. I can put that in the podcast script.
Okay, if you think so, yeah. That'd be great.
Well, it didn't say you were good looking. It just said you looked young.
Well, you do look very handsome though, Jim. You look better than, I shouldn't say, the lawyer that we talked. You guys are the same age today. He's not going to listen to this. Nice guy.
You already said it now.
I did.
I'm not handsome. I'm not a good looking man, but I was offended by that machine. It's done a real trick on my self-esteem.
I really don't love that.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this is a good podcast. We have to go to dinner.
All right, please come out and see me when I'm in Australia, February 21st or 23rd at the Comedy Store, February 19th, 26th, Enmore Comedy Club.
It's true.
February 27th through the 2nd at Comics Lounge in Melbourne. And the shows in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Bangkok and Newcastle I'll be putting on my website as well, forshaw.net. Anything you want to promote, Jack? Yeah, I didn't think so. Is your show at the Ace Theater? You don't want to promote it?
Has anyone else been watching this building that's just a cartoon?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like a panda bear.
Yeah, it's just like there's a whole like light show.
The one with the clock at the top, it'll do shit. There we go. Now the bird's going.
Yeah, the buildings, the
people at home are
Hong
loving
Kong.
This.
Yeah. Screensaver aside, the buildings in Hong Kong, you gotta see them. Okay, anyways.
Or if you can't afford to go to Hong Kong, just turn on your Apple TV.
Yeah, but that doesn't have the night function. They need to do a night version. On the screen server. Saver.
Well, why don't you take a video and post it in the podcast group?
Ooh, good thing. Thinking.
I wonder if there's...
I'm losing my mind. I'm having a stroke right now.
Do you think that you have anyone in the world that uses you as a screensaver?
Yeah.
Who?
You mean like for their thing?
Yeah. Their phone or their...
Yeah, somebody sent me one on the podcast group that they use me as a screensaver.
Oh, so not your mother or you?
No, not my mom.
By the way, in the podcast group, you were rated as surprisingly good today, Forrest. Someone posted that.
Yeah, it's always a backhanded compliment. Like, I saw him in Hong Kong last night, and guess what? It wasn't too bad. It's like, fuck you. And then some guy said something. Yeah. By the way, I just want to make one note. I did go into a deep dive in the podcast group over the Christmas holidays.
Forrest lost his mind.
And I didn't lose my mind. I
started
just
feeding the trolls.
I thought it was fun to be like, hey, say your best fat jokes. And guess what? You guys aren't that funny. So there was one guy that was a winner.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
What was the winner?
I don't remember his name.
Jim Jeffries.
It's posted in there, but I said, make your best fat jokes. And everyone thought like that I was like really angry about it. I was just having fun. It was really fun. And then
some of them tried to do it behind Forrest's back, but they didn't have enough fuel in their car.
The winner, I forget his name. I'm not looking at it right now, but he did a like a little edit, little meme kind of thing of the making a murderer. And he put my face in half of it, and he just put making a sandwich, and that was very funny. So that was he was the winner. I think it was he's like a Norwegian name. He's on the podcast group, but that was fun, guys. But please join the podcast group if you haven't done that yet. The Jim Jeffries Show podcast. Join the group. There's about 9,000 people in there. Don't be an asshole. Don't be a cunt. I guess that's the one rule. And then if you haven't subscribed already, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, and rate us. Put a review and a rating in there. Yeah, that's about it. If anybody else has anything else, Jim?
I'm just disappointed there's no ad read. I know people are going to be upset about that. It's the best part.
Yeah, it might be one that we have to insert.
Oh, God. And everyone's like, well, gonna hear about
this was a boring big burr.
Buy some shoes and some boots.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, buy stuff from our advertisers that we've already done.
Imodium.
Not they're not whiteboards. They're not an advertiser.
There's two,
Sunbasket.
Buy a whiteboard.
There's two companies that I advertise for free: Imodium and Cousins Maine Lobster. Love you, boys. If that restaurant shuts down, then I shut down.
What do you mean you shut down?
I won't get out of bed. It's 50% of my diet.
Well,
do you miss lobster here? Is that a thing here?
It's at least 30% of my diet is Cousins Maine lobster.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Those lobster rolls. Best in the world. I've traveled all over America and had lobster rolls everywhere. That's your number one.
All right.
I don't want it to get too popular, so the wait time is too long, but I don't want it to go under.
This really isn't a good end to the podcast.
No, it's good. You end with your biggest, your best bit. That's
no
a closer.
No one's still listening.
They are. There's many people still listening, and then people will write that in the podcast. I listen to the end.
Jim, stop eating. I can hear you eating. Don't stop eating. I enjoyed the show, but you were eating, you fat pig. Whose mouth is that? Your mouth's disgusting. Just that noise coming out of
you. Well, you're about to go to dinner with him, so you're going to have an hour and a half of it.
He's a very clean eater. He eats with his mouth shut.
Forrest eats his mouth.
And I eat faster than Forrest. I'm a very fast eater. I'm a shoveler. They call me the shoveler.
Nobody calls
There's
them.
Always sauce on your face at the end.
I did an interview today with food on my face.
Oh, that's true.
And Julia didn't fucking notice.
This is why. No, because we had two vans that were leaving the hotel this morning, and I had to get in the second van. So by the time you guys got there, you had started.
Should end this podcast 5 minutes ago. Just so everybody knows. Everybody's still listening. I don't know why you're listening still.
You're boring, Julia. You're boring, everyone. Stop being so boring. Love you.
All right, Kelly,
I love you.
Cut
it off earlier.
Good night.
Good night, Australia.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.